Hey everyone, you're listening to Inherited, a sound-rich, solutions-focused youth storytelling podcast about the climate crisis. I'm Shaylin Martos, your Season 3 host. In Episode 6, storyteller Radu Stochiță critiqued the environmental policies and trends in Romania post the Communist Revolution. In his story, Bag of Bags, Radu interviewed some experts on traditional recycling practices, his parents. We linked up about halfway through production to talk about objectivity and how science data can be daunting, but illuminating.
My name is Radu Stochiță. Some people know me as Stoch. It's a nickname from my last name. He, him as pronouns and a storyteller, journalist, I don't know. anything goes, really.
So you've done some audio work and podcasting through college, but this is your first time doing podcasting professionally. So what's it like to know that this time you're going to get paid for it and you have the support of your producers instead of just doing it by yourself?
Well, the team is amazing. It's way more understanding than I would have expected any journalistic team to be. I've worked with teams in the past, man. They're deadly. You know, they set harsh deadlines. They're not really understanding. And I understand why. It's a high stress, I think, profession that we choose. And once you find those little oasis, or like, you know, those little zens, those groups where you can actually, I think, take it as you can, basically, you know, take your time and do it, and they're understanding, and then they respect if an emergency comes, and you know, it's been beautiful. I mean, the paying part of it is lovely. I mean, the first gigs in journalistic world, regardless if it's audio, video, or writings, are most likely to be unpaid, and it takes a long time, I think, for someone to actually get money and get recognition and get experience. I was fortunate enough to do that, I would say 2 years ago, maybe for the first time, or 1 year ago. For podcasts, I've never been paid, so this will be my first time, and it's great. Yeah, I'm investing the money into more equipment, actually.
Oh, amazing!
I'm not sitting on it.
At this point, you know, we're still in the production process. You still need to track your script, and I took a look and I read over it. I even felt a little bit guilty thinking about how I've contributed to green consumerism. And I feel like maybe some people are going to be a little butthurt. So how does that make you feel? Does that kind of drive the story for you?
Yeah, partially, because I still believe in agency, like in individual powers, I would say, to change. And I think that if you might have the chance to choose between, I don't know, a paper straw and a plastic straw, you should maybe go with a paper straw. But that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. I think that's what they want us to believe. You know, they really, and by they, I mean the big corporations and those corporate bought governments, they just want to focus all the blame and responsibility on the individual, to the extent that you go into a store and you feel bad for buying something that's plastic wrapped. And I feel the same way, trust me. But like, imagine I go with my girlfriend on a date or something, and she expects me to buy her a box of chocolates, whatever, it's plastic. Am I going to stop buying that? You know, yeah, of course I can come up with a different gift, but maybe if she really likes those chocolates, I'm still going to buy it for her. And I think there are other avenues, and maybe other people, and by people, I mean entities such as corporations and government, should be the ones that actually, you know, make sure those candies do not end up in plastic boxes anymore. Mm-hmm. But the lobby is just so high that it just puts so much pressure, I think, on the individual. And at the end of the day, I think some people, while we might be able to think about it, they're like poor people that have no chance to ever think about this. You know, what they really have to think is, I have to put food on the table. Mm-hmm. Do I really care if it comes packaged in plastic or paper? It's irrelevant. And it should be to them, because they're striving for survival, and someone putting the blame on them, oh, you haven't bought my, I don't know, over-the-counter granola or something. You know, man, if you really come up with that argument, you're lacking empathy, in my opinion.
It's really, really difficult for a lot of people to avoid that, to avoid contributing to either green consumerism or just capitalism in general, and how that is affecting our food and everything else around us. So I feel, reading the script, that your parents are like the glue in this story. And so one thing I wanted to bring up is this ever-shifting debate of objectivity in journalism. And your parents' perspectives and your experiences shaped this episode. So I'm wondering what it's like to report on your own family And you, as someone who's had experience in journalism before, did that kind of occur to you? Have you had issues with that? Like, what does that feel like for you?
Well, it's lovely. I think the idea was that I will not write for a news agency, you know, just like a report or reporting on the ground in the sense. So I allowed myself a lot of subjectivity, which I've done in the past as well. It's not the first time I include my parents in a journalistic piece. I think I might have started, or this might be a later article, with I was documented a strike my mom was taking part in, and I interviewed my mother for an article. And then I wrote an entire article, a profile of my father for a Romanian magazine, describing how he ended up going to college, because my dad is a retired forest keeper, and he, at the age of 58, he went back to school. He never went to college, but he started college education at that age. So I wrote a big piece on that. But regardless of that, the question of objectivity, it's a very high skill dance that people need to master quite early on, because there is an obsession almost to a point with this objectivity in journalism, which I think once you get enough experience, you realize that it doesn't fully exist. Like, yes, you shouldn't come up with facts that you have not witnessed, heard of, or anything. And you should double check everything you see. But I think one of the lessons I learned in journalism is it's not what you say is important, but what you don't say is also very important. Mm. So we can claim that someone is more objective than me because he reported on my parents' story, not being a family member, but he left out so many other things that I might have included. And I think that's the little dance I was saying that people need to master or get their head around. And honestly, my journalistic experience has been I would say quite inclusive of this notion. And everyone I've worked with really has understood from early on that, or told me that, you know, we don't really expect objectivity of you. What does it mean?
I'm glad that we can have this conversation about objectivity, because like you said, as you move through this industry, you start to understand that, like, yeah, everyone's identities and everyone's experiences do change their perspective.
The future of America is in your hands. This is not a movie trailer, and it's not a political ad, but it is a call to action. I'm Mila Atmos, and I'm passionate about unlocking the power of everyday citizens. On our podcast, Future Hindsight, we take big ideas about civic life and democracy and turn them into action items for you and me. Every Thursday, we talk to bold activists and civic innovators to help you understand your power and your power to change the status quo. Find us at futurehindsight.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If someone told you to jump off a cliff, would you do it? No. But there is something to be said about leaping into the unknown. That's what our podcast, Outside In, is all about. It's a safer way to explore all the weird, wonderful, and uncomfortable questions you have about the natural world. Like, what's it like to decompose?
All of the germs and bacteria is saying, okay, baby, we gotta get rid of this person.
Or why the hell do we have lawns?
Who the hell needs 5 acres of ornamental grass?
I'm Nate Hedgie, host of Outside In, a podcast where curiosity and the natural world collide. Sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's ridiculous, but it's always a wild journey.
Woo! Oh.
That's Outside / In from New Hampshire Public Radio.
So I just really like to know, have you grown through this experience working with Inherited? Have you found some things you want to work on? You said that you're going to get some more equipment after this, which is awesome.
It's a bit difficult self-reflecting, of course. But playing with a different medium that I have not been fairly familiar with exposed me, I would say, to a different way of communicating with people and basically adjusting a story to audio. It's something when you write it, and it's something when you record it. That's what I realized. It took me a while. So I think that's and second, the editing, the producing team, it's been lovely. Good experience working with all of you guys. And not only that, but, you know, it teaches you a lot about the way you would like to work with other people in the future, I would say. Mm. Yeah.
So what advice, Radu, would you give to young climate journalists that are just coming into that space?
I think climate storytelling, it's interesting to think about. I would say there's a lot of space for people, and there's a lot of space for people to grow and report on stories, especially coming from areas that there haven't really been that much reporting done on. We get a lot of stories, let's say, for example, right now from New York with the smog or the haze that's over the city. You know, the sky is looking like they're coming out of Half-Life 1, the video game. But I think what we don't really see are like climate stories from countries such as Romania.
For context to listeners, Radu and I are talking just the day after New York experienced having the worst air quality that they've ever had in history. The sky turned red like it did here in the Bay Area due to forest fires. So just a little context on that for people.
And there's a lot of space here. I would say, I know in the beginning it looks daunting because there is a lot of science behind it. It is a craft, and I'm a bit of a perfectionist at heart. And I do my research. I love researching, and I think it's necessary. I think you cannot write a story and just assume that you know things just because you think plastic is bad. You know, you should really understand how plastic works and how decomposition of it works before you actually dive into writing a story. Mm-hmm. We need more people to actually be to understand how to look at financial data regarding climate change. We have journalists in the United States for sure that look at it and do a fantastic job. You know, they track corporations, they look at their statements, they look at their 1000K forms or however they're called. In other countries, don't really have. And I think that will be interesting for people to look at. Mm-hmm. There is something about data, about legal arguments, and about financial arguments that really can build a very strong case. Mm-hmm. You know, that might be picked up as a policy paper that later can actually influence politics. Climate news are very important, and I don't think we give them enough credit in many, many places. Like, I think the United States has a beautiful scene. You know, big publications take them very seriously. Like, I think outside gets a bit difficult, especially outside of the English press. What I would say is that if you're from a country where you know that the climate reporting in your country is not done to the extent that you love to see, I would say maybe try to learn from the outside and see what you can bring in as well. Keep an open mind to it. Don't neglect climate journalism. It will be everywhere. We'll talk about it more than ever. I was in New Delhi for a couple of months ago. You're burning alive at 40, 50 degrees Celsius on the street. You literally feel like you're melting into the asphalt. If there is like a climate emergency and we don't feel it yet in Romania, it doesn't mean we'll be protected forever. You know, so I think get a head start on it. That's my take.
Cool. We are nearly done. I wanted to ask if you wanted to plug anything. What would you like us to look out for you? And if you don't have anything, you can just tell me. I won't include that question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to report more, I would say, on climate and labor stories. There will be more from me in the Romanian press in the coming months. I'm working a lot more on this, and I'm looking into more financial data, I would say. That's what I'll be doing.
Wonderful.
In the next months. Yeah, I think it's necessary, and I think it can build very strong arguments. What I really want to do in the next months, we have a very close to my house. They're trying to build some small nuclear reactors. It's quite an interesting project. It's funded mostly by, I'm not sure if it's the American government, but some entity in the United States. They just demolished a coal plant very close to my house, 10 kilometers away. That was defunct for many years. And they want to replace it with a nuclear reactor. And the problem is that the nuclear reactor is placed next to people's homes. And not only that, but it's placed like 10 kilometers away, or 10, it would be like 6 miles, let's say, away from my house and 6 miles away from a big urban center. So I think I want to cause some trouble. I don't know. Just want to stir the pot, see how it goes. Yeah, I'm kind of annoyed by it.
Good luck on that. Like, make some trouble. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Radu. I really appreciate
it. It was a lovely time.
Lovely, lovely. I'm so glad. And I cannot wait to hear your episode. Thank you for joining us for this bonus episode. Season 3 of Inherited continues Wednesdays wherever you get your podcasts. Next week, storyteller V. Pham shares the voices of young Pacifica climate activists working to combat Australia's restrictive immigration laws. Inherited is brought to you by YR Media, a national network of young journalists and artists creating content for this generation. We're distributed by Critical Frequency, a podcast network founded by women journalists. For more information about our show, team, and storytellers, visit our website at yr.media/inherited. See you next week.